Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, July 27, 2016. Hundreds of South Sudanese take part in a peaceful demonstration in Yei.
We decided that we are not going to travel out of the country, not out of Yei, until we ensure that we work together with the state government to ensure that there is a relevant peace in Yei. Yei wants to be a model, then we will never ever allow any tribal killing.
And an advocacy group says weak institutions are the cause of South Sudan's conflict.
When the institutions that are supposed to check the powers of the political class, if these institutions are weak, we are creating an environment where corruption prevails. And when corruption prevails, rival factions in the government can start fighting or competing over these resources, and then we'll have a war.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, JMAC, a body charged with monitoring the implementation of South Sudan's August peace deal, issued a statement today about the political developments in South Sudan. JMAC Chairman Festus Mohai said, quote, "Our only interest is to see a solution that promotes peace and a return to normality, as well as security in South Sudan," end quote. President Salva Kiir replaced his first Vice President Riek Machar with Taban Dengai this week in a presidential decree. The change sparked criticism from Machar's supporters across South Sudan. JMAC said, due to the complexity of the political situation in South Sudan, the body will meet with both South Sudanese and its international partners to discuss the situation. JMAC says Mohai continues to consult with regional leaders and international partners and other concerned parties to discuss South Sudan's political impasse. The U.S. State Department issued a statement on Tuesday saying South Sudan's peace agreement contains procedures and requirements that govern changes in the leadership in the transitional government. The State Department spokesperson Elizabeth Kennedy Trudeau said the agreement provides that, quote, "the top leadership of the body of the armed opposition has the power to nominate a new first president if the position is vacant," end quote. Machar told Al Jazeera Television today that his replacement is a violation of the peace deal signed by President Salva Kiir and Mr. Machar in August last year. The whereabouts of the former rebel leader is not known since fighting broke out in the capital 2 weeks ago. A researcher with the Washington-based Enough Project says weak institutions play a major role in igniting conflict in South Sudan. The nonprofit says institutions in the country are capable of providing oversight and accountability, but are preventing from carrying out their mandate by politicians who fail to do their jobs. Ayen Bior reports from Washington.
Brian Adeba, the Enough Project's Associate Director of Policy, says violence in South Sudan is closely tied to the prevalence of weak institutions in the country. He says the political elite in South Sudan purposefully keep institutions weak to avoid accountability from civil society.
The institutions in South Sudan really do have the capacity. All they require is the political will to make them effective so that they are able to implement their mandate and bring accountability and transparency to South Sudan. When the institutions that are supposed to check the powers of the political class, if these institutions are weak, we are creating an environment where corruption prevails. And when corruption prevails, rival factions in the government can start fighting or competing over these resources, and then we'll have a war.
And Adeba says that's exactly what happened in December 2013 when the fighting broke out. He says that can be prevented in the future if institutions are effective. Adeba says the people who work for the institutions in South Sudan are willing and capable of doing important work, but are often intentionally overlooked by politicians who are in positions of power.
If you look at the Anti-Corruption Commission has recently completed a case in which $12 million was misappropriated or lost by the Ministry of Defense and the SPLA. And to date, as far as we know, no one has been brought to account for the loss of that money.
Adeba says that it is important to note that the weak institutions also create an imbalance in the checks and balances and the power structure within South Sudan's political landscape.
From the get-go, the politicians, their intention was not to have effective institutions. The weaknesses that you see are deliberate. They are manufactured by the political elite, so that they are able to undercut the effectiveness of the institution so that they can misappropriate public funds for their own use. So the weaknesses that I outlined in this report are actually very deliberate. They're not there by accident. During my research, I found out that the people in these institutions have the capacity. They're willing to do their work, but they cannot do that as long as the political class does not allow them to do their job.
Adeba says there are a few things that South Sudanese can do to strengthen their institutions. He says the more people call for accountability, the greater the chances there are of long-term stability and transparent institutions. Adeba says the country's economic crisis is directly attributable to ineffective spending and corruption.
We're suggesting that maybe we adopt a dual mechanism of oversight as implemented in Liberia, the GMAP dual policy of oversight, in which people from the international community are paired with local South Sudanese bureaucrats, and they will have responsibility to co-sign on any contracts or any money to ensure that there is the loopholes that would allow for money to disappear are all shut down.
Adeba says any policies that counter corruption and try to strengthen weak institutions in South Sudan must also look at the unique political and social circumstances of the country. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
Hundreds of government officials, civil society organizations, and church leaders in Yeye River State marched today in a demonstration to call for an end to violence in the state. Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba.
The protest comes a week after recent insecurity in the state, which left 5 people dead and caused hundreds of others to flee to neighboring Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Some schools and shops in the area remain closed. After a peaceful procession, participants also gathered at Yei Freedom Square for a rally to demand an end to the fighting. Jacob Aligo is a state member of parliament and the organizer of the demonstration.
Mine is a confidence building among the community, and also to assure them that there's nobody who is planning anything against them, because they are a peer from within that communities are going to fight among themselves. So that is basically the purpose why I try to bring them together to dialogue among themselves and to discuss on the issues or their fears and the suspicion that exists among them.
Aligu acknowledged that sometimes politicians themselves are the cause of insecurity in the state.
Our people don't have problem among themselves. But it is maybe us leaders who are causing problem among the communities. When we don't give them correct information or instigate them because of political issues, maybe I need the support from my community, and so I have to use my community to confront another one.
Last week, Yei Information Minister Stephen Onesimo says many people fled their homes in the state because of fear of possible reprisal attacks following the deadly fighting in Juba between the forces loyal to President Salva Kiir and those loyal to SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar. Church leaders say they will need not to leave Yei until they speak to different ethnic community leaders about solutions to achieve peace. Bishop Elias Taban of the Episcopal Presbyterian Church canceled his trip to the United States to attend the Democratic National Convention in the East Coast city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, so he could attend today's protest. He says leaders in Yei are looking for ways to address insecurity in the state.
We decided that we are not going to travel out of the country, not out of Yei, until we ensure that we work together with the state government to ensure that there is a relevant peace in Yei. Yei wants to be a model, then we will never ever allow any tribal killing to happen. We have even condemned the killing that is taking place.
Aligu assures residents that Yei is now calm. He says some residents who fled their homes have started returning. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
Church and local leaders in Ezo County say armed youth in and Nadiangari Payam have been detaining 6 community leaders for nearly a week. The community leaders were detained while on a local campaign to urge the armed youth to allow free movement of people and goods to the area. Local leaders are asking state officials to intervene and ensure that the community leaders are freed. Gift Friday reports for VOA from Yambio.
The 6 community members have been detained by the armed youth in Enderi Payam since Friday. A local Catholic priest, Father Jacinto Nengi, says he was among the 10 community leaders who went to the area to ask the vigilantes to open the road so that services can reach the suffering people of Ezo County. Father Nengi says out of the 10 members, only himself, another pastor and a paramount chief were allowed to leave. He says the armed vigilantes refused to free the 6 community leaders until the government releases one of their members.
They say if this just Namaso is not released, our people will not be released. Up to now, this is the situation our people who are receiving them are in now.
Nengi says the situation in Ezo County is becoming unbearable because the vigilantes have closed all roads leading into and out of Ezo County.
Our situation now in Ezo is not good. The insecurity in which we are now is so bad. And everybody, all the civilians, they've ran away. Some went to Congo, to Central Africa, to the bush. And very few people you can find, one or two moving along the road. The place in Ezo is so miserable.
Ezo County Paramount Chief Anthony Ture says the detained officials include the County Relief and Rehabilitation Commission Coordinator, Poreo Francis, the Ezo County Councillor, Michael Carlo, and the Chairwoman of the Ezo Women's Association, Mary Onerio, and another woman, Bernadita Yakub. Speaking in Arabic, Ture says the youth should release the community leaders.
We took the steps to negotiate with these boys so that they can open the road. We went there 3 times, and the 3rd time is when they detained these boys. We are trying as citizens of Ezo County to talk to the boys.
Gudwe State Acting Governor Jackson Ezekiel says the vigilante group should release the community leaders unconditionally.
We are saying, okay, we can intervene, but it cannot be a condition. Why do you detain 6 for one person? It doesn't sound well. So we are urging them that the person they sent here, until now, I have not seen him and I have not heard his name. I'm still waiting to see where the person is.
He says the state government will not send any soldier to the area.
We want to assure them that we are not going to send the military to go and open the road, because we know what it means, sending the military to go and open the roads. No matter what the case may be, what we want is they should open the road they themselves.
Armed youth closed the Jebu Ezo Road, which connects Ezo County to Budwe State capital Yambio, last month, accusing government forces of planning to attack their positions. Gift Friday for VOA News, Yambio.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look on South Sudan's cholera outbreak. We'll tell you more on that after this.
The political party convention is a critical part of the American electoral process. VOA correspondents are there, reporting the latest developments.
Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Jim Malone, VOA News, at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Tune in to VOA's extensive, up-to-the-minute coverage of the U.S. presidential election.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
would it matter to you if your presidential candidate were a woman?
No, it wouldn't at all. I think a man, woman, for me, it's about someone who gets the job done and someone who understands that leadership is about service and not using power for selfish reasons.
It does not matter. As long as she's productive, that's it.
I would be very happy if my presidential candidate was a woman, because I see that women are equal to men. We are there to support, and a lot of things that women have done, I think men have perceived to do it, but women do it better.
For me, it does not matter whether it is a man or a woman. Leadership is not by sex. Rather, ability.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. A British report says human rights in Sudan has improved very little despite President Bashir's national dialogue and announcement of ceasefires between government and rebel forces. Great Britain says the government's aerial bombardment of civilian areas, sexual violence in conflict zones, and the blocking of humanitarian access in Darfur, Blue Nile, and southern Kordofan continue unabated in 2015. Sudan says it's ready to make peace with various rebel groups. Nabil Biajo has more for VOA from Khartoum.
In its 2015 Human Rights Priority Country report released last week, the British government says international humanitarian law violations and human rights abuses occurred in Darfur, South Kordofan, and Blue Nile, the majority of which were carried out by the government of Sudan. Khartoum-based human rights lawyer Saleh Mahmoud says not only was there little improvement, but conditions in Sudan actually deteriorated in 2015.
The situation of human rights in 2015 and 16 is more worse even than the situation before 2-3 years ago, 5 years ago. It's bad. It's really deteriorating to the worst.
Mahmoud says 2015 was marked by events in Darfur's Jebel Marra, in which government planes bombed rebels loyal to Abdul Wahid Nur. The United Nations said more than 80,000 civilians were forcibly displaced during the bombings. And Mahmoud says even UNAMID was not able to help civilians.
Aerial bombardment is increasing, especially in Jebel Marra, which was the main cause of the huge displacement and the killings of the population. Again, the performance of the UNAMID is very much disappointing because even in their presence, violations continued and they couldn't intervene to protect their lives.
Mahmoud says human rights violations such as sexual violence and interference with humanitarian workers trying to reach conflict areas was on the rise in 2015. He says what makes matters worse is the fact that the government is not willing to prosecute war crimes committed by soldiers and militias loyal to President Omar al-Bashir.
Justice accountability is not there. This is one element that encourages potential perpetrators to continue committing crimes. They are always, all of them are still beyond the reach of justice.
Sudanese government spokesperson Ahmed Bilal flatly denies the human rights abuse allegations against the government, but he agrees with the report's authors on one point.
I do agree with them that we are all working to end the conflict, Blue Nile and South Kordofan.
Bilal says his government is willing to end the wars in Sudan based on the terms of the roadmap agreement as presented by the African Union High-Level Implementation Panel. The roadmap calls for a cessation of hostilities and for the rebels to join Mr. Bashir's dialogue in Khartoum to resolve their outstanding issues.
We are quite ready to stop the war completely with all the guarantees that in the areas where there is conflict, there will be no war. We are waiting for them to sign the roadmap.
The rebels have refused to sign the agreement, accusing the mediation panel of being biased in favor of the government. Bilal disagrees and says once peace is achieved, the government will sit down with all opposition groups and reach a deal on issues of governance and civil and political freedoms in the country.
All what they are talking about, the improvement in the human rights situation and the other freedom things, this all can have an end if we reach peace and we go directly to complete the national dialogue. Whereas this is the place where we can reach consensus about all the Sudanese.
The report says the United Kingdom's human rights priorities for 2016 will remain conflict resolution and humanitarian access, pressing for greater civil and political freedoms, and tackling sexual and gender-based violence in Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biajo.
From Khartoum, we come back to Juba, where the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says at least 17 people have died from cholera in South Sudan's capital, Juba, and other parts of the country. UNICEF says it has documented more than 300 cases so far. As Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba, UNICEF says it is working with the government to try to contain the spread of the disease.
South Sudan's health minister confirmed an outbreak of cholera last week after test results came back positive. The ministry issued an alert last week after 11 people died of suspected cases of the disease. The French medical charity Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, and UNICEF says they are working with the National Health Ministry to stop the spread of the disease. UNICEF spokesman in South Sudan, Timothy Irwin, says some patients have been discharged from the cholera treatment center at Juba Teaching Hospital after being successfully treated.
Juba has the most number of cases. We have 261 cases in Juba, and we've recorded 5 deaths. After that, we have Jonglei, where there are 46 cases, and there have been 7 deaths reported there. And then in Terrakeka, there have been 12 cases reported there, and there are 5 deaths.
Dr. Isaac Marik at the Cholera Treatment Center in Juba Teaching Hospital says people who drink untreated water directly from the Nile and from unprotected sources are at high risk of infection. Erwin says UNICEF has dispatched the cholera treatment team to educate the public on key preventive measures, especially for mothers and children who are at high risk of contracting cholera. He says basic hygiene, such as washing hands after visiting the toilet and before eating, are good preventive measures.
We need to make sure that everything is done to contain the spread. Obviously, in crowded conditions, in these protection of civilian sites, there's a risk, you know, given people's living conditions, given the overcrowding in these areas, it's more easily spread in situations like that. And that's why what we call the social mobilization aspect is so important, that people understand how the disease is spread and what they can do to keep themselves and their families safe.
Kirton Ajak is a patient recovering from cholera at the Cholera Treatment Center in Juba. Kirton experienced diarrhea, vomiting, and muscle cramps, all common symptoms of cholera. Speaking in Arabic, he says he is telling those brothers fearing not to be afraid of going to the hospital. He says, let them come and get the treatment that will help save their lives. Irwin urged the people, especially women and children who feel any of those symptoms, to seek immediate medical attention.
It's a disease which is spread through contaminated water, and you know, these are activities, these are behaviors which are very, very common in children. So it's very important that mothers understand what they should do and what they can do to protect their children.
Cholera can kill a person within hours if not treated. Juba has been hit with cholera at least once every year for the past several years. Last year, there were over 1,700 confirmed cases of the disease and nearly 50 deaths. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
Budua State government officials say they will talk with armed youth operating in Lirongu, Payam, and Ezo County, who claim to be aligned with the SPLM in opposition, about ending attacks on civilians. The Budua State acting governor says the government has authorized a committee to mediate negotiations. Gift Friday has the story for VOA from Miambio.
Budua State government and church leaders held a meeting today to discuss how to end the nearly one-year conflict between armed youth and government soldiers in the area. Acting governor Jackson Ezekiel emerged from the meeting to say the government has mandated a committee run by church leaders to mediate negotiations between the government and the armed youth.
We have to mandate the church leaders to carry on the peace process. They have to go and meet those boys and assure them that the government of Budua State is for peace, and we need them, we need those boys to come home. And we have also made it very clear as a government that we're going to attack anybody's position.
Ezekiel says government officials will support the church efforts to ensure peace is restored in Lirongu, Payam, and Ezo County. Church leaders have tried and failed before to restore peace in the areas, even after a peace deal was reached between the state officials and another group calling itself the South Sudan National Liberation Movement. Ezekiel says he is ready to listen to the grievances of the armed youth and will continue to extend President Kiir's offer of amnesty to all groups that have taken up arms against the government.
We need them. We need their presence. Let them come home so that we build this nation. Being away, being in the bush is not a solution. They were angry. Time has come for them to come home so that they can stay peacefully with their parents.
The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Tombra Yambio, Eduardo Hiboro Kusala, head of the Interchurch Peace Committee in the former Western Equatoria, applauds state officials for emerging to talk to the armed youth.
I'm very happy that we have come to this level that we need to dialogue.
Bishop Hiboro says church leaders are committed to facilitating the peace talks.
We are ready to collaborate hand in hand to make sure peace comes to our state. And so I'm here taking this moment to announce to all the people here in our state to pray for this process and then to take confidence from it, because it's not something new. We have peace already working in the state now, which came from this initiative.
Hiboro is urging the armed youth to accept the government's offer of dialogue.
We are asking also, finally, the young people in the bush, those who are still holding guns, we are coming to you. Please open the door. Let us talk.
The armed youth, calling themselves Aero Boys in opposition, have repeatedly declined to negotiate with the state government. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. JMEC reacted today to President Salva Kiir's move to replace First Vice President Riek Machar with another SPLM-IO official, Taban Dengai. In a statement, JMEC Chairman Festus Muhai is quoted as saying, "Our only interest is to see a solution that promotes peace and a return to normality as well as security in South Sudan." The move has been criticized by Machar supporters. JMEC says the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Body will meet with government officials and international partners to talk about the political impasse in South Sudan. Machar has been in hiding since the fighting broke out in Juba. A U.S. State Department spokesman says South Sudan's peace deal contains procedures that govern a change in leadership, including a provision that states that the top leadership body of the armed opposition has the power to nominate a new first vice president if the position is vacant. An Enough Project researcher says weak institutions play a big role in triggering conflicts in South Sudan. The Washington-based nonprofit says institutions in South Sudan can provide oversight and accountability, but don't because greedy politicians prevent them from doing so. Brian Edeba, the Enough Project's associate director of policy, says violence in South Sudan is directly linked to the prevalence of weak institutions in the country. He says the political elite in South Sudan purposely keep institutions weak in order to avoid accountability from civil society. And Edeba says that's exactly what happened in December 2013 when the fighting broke out. He says that can be prevented in the future if institutions are effective. And finally, hundreds of government officials, civil society organizations, and church leaders in Yei River State marched today in a demonstration to call for an end to violence in the state. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song "No More War" by Russ Corby.
Well, just checking up the global scene all over the world right now, seeing Rasta cities. We need a global love, you know, and a global solution. And must be a conclusion. Sure. Rastafari, to stop the war. No more war in Africa. The people gotta leave up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East. The people are fighting the peace. No more war in America. The people gotta leave up to Jah. No more war in Asia. We gotta keep it nice and neat, y'all. Our people suffering around the world today. They're trying to find a solution. We look around and nowhere to hide. Not even a single place to run. How can you say you're leading the world without love? So how can you say you're leading the world without peace? Circumstances meet people along the way. They need someone to turn to. Only Jah has the solution. No mankind has it on his own. We were creating the image and the likeness of Jah. Mankind, don't try to fool yourself.
We've been listening to Russ Corby with the song "No More War." I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. People gotta leave up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East. The people are fighting.